during the period of time before Christmas, we saw that the introductory part, the first two chapters of the Gospel according to Luke and the Gospel according to Matthew, were introductions in which the author sought to make sure that the reader understood who this Jesus of Nazareth is. Well, the same thing is true of the Gospel according to John. The first chapter of that Gospel is the introduction. And what John wants to make very clear is that this Jesus of Nazareth is divine, is God. There are lots of names that are applied to Jesus that John disregards. He doesn't think that those names are good enough. Names like Rabbi or Messiah. John presents three images that he thinks are good enough to say that Jesus of Nazareth is the Son of God. The first of those images is the Word. The rationality of God. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word lived with God, and the Word was God. In the very beginning, the Word was with God, and everything that has come into existence has come into existence through Him. And without Him, there is nothing that has come into existence. And that Word became flesh and dwelt among us, so that we see the glory of the only begotten Son of God. The image of the Word is one of those images John chooses to use to say, this is the Son of God. The second image he uses is the image of light. He says, what came into the world was light. This light was the life of all people. This light shined in the darkness, and the darkness was unable to overcome it. The third image he uses is the image that is found in the gospel today, the Lamb of God. It's found only in John's gospel. It's found not in Matthew or Mark or Luke. It is a unique title that John gives to Jesus. Well, what are we to understand by that image of the Lamb of God? I would suggest to you that there are at least five possibilities. The first is the Passover lamb, the lamb that is slaughtered. The blood of the lamb marks the doorposts, so that when the angel of God passes over Egypt, he spares the lives of the Egyptians, of the Israelites. Was John thinking of that image when he said, "Behold the Lamb of God"? A second point. The lambs were used daily for sacrifice in the temple. And these lambs were to be unblemished. They were to be innocent. And by their slaughter, the prayer of the people of Israel would be brought to God. And the lambs would be, if you will, standing in the place of the sinful people of Israel. So is that the image that was in the mind of John as he takes this title for Jesus? A third possibility is the image that we found in the first reading from the scripture, the reading from the book of Isaiah the prophet. And it's found not only in that passage, but in a great number of passages. Speaking of the Messiah, Isaiah says, he will be as a sheep brought to slaughter. He will be mute as a lamb before the shearer. Was it the image of the suffering servant that John had in mind? A fourth option would be the image that is found in the book of Revelation, the image of the victorious lamb, the lamb that is slain, and yet the hosts of heaven cry out, glory and praise and honor to the lamb who is slain and to the one who is seated on the throne. Is that the image that John? And there's a fifth image. John's gospel is highly, highly influenced by Gentile life, by Greek and Roman life. Is he imaging the sign of Aries in the zodiac? Aries is the beginning of the year, and it was the beginning of the year in the time of Jesus. The new year began during the time of March and April. And the image was that as the months passed and as one went around the zodiac and came back to Aries, the disconnected universe would be made whole again, and once it came back to Aries, everything would be perfect. That was the thought. The image is the image of the ram. And as you remember looking at that image, it's the image of the ram with the broken neck. The ram is standing there with his head turned backwards, staring at Taurus, the bull. So it's the image of the sacrificed lamb who is victorious, the sacrificed ram who stands. Well, there are many other possibilities as to what was in the mind of John. I would suggest to you that it's not an either-or, it's a complex image of all of them. And that the real meaning of the term the Lamb of God is found in the faith of the church, for the scriptures belong to the church. And the interpretation of the scriptures is found in the life of the church. So in light of the church, what does it mean? Well, it means what you and I say week after week after week as we prepare to come to communion. Lamb of God, who takes away the sins of the world, have mercy on us. Or, this is the Lamb of God, the one who takes away the sin of the world. Happy are we who are called to his supper. That whatever was in the mind of John, the truth is found in the faith of a community. And for you and for me and for the life of the church, the Lamb of God is Jesus of Nazareth, the Son of God, suffering, dying, and rising in glory for the salvation of the world. And you and I are called to participate in that through the reception of communion. Now, one last piece, and this ties it again to the first reading. Jesus did not speak English. He did not speak Greek. He did not speak Latin. He did not speak Hebrew. Jesus spoke Aramaic. And the word for lamb in Aramaic is talia. It is also the same word for servant or for slave. So as John the Baptizer stands at the Jordan and sees Jesus coming toward him, he says, "Behold the Lamb of God." And the people standing around the Jordan River could hear it as the Lamb of God, or behold the servant of God, or behold the slave of God, who takes away the sin of the world. The first reading from the scripture, God says that his servant will be entrusted with the invitation to bring light not only to Israel, but to all the nations. To be the instrument by which the sin of the world is taken away.